Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the work of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 234, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. O Lord, my God, my joyful heart will give thee praise forevermore. For rich in grace to me thou art, my soul from death thou didst restore. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of 234. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head uncovered, dishonoreth his head. His head covered dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth, having her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou before whom we are come again in this afternoon hour of thy holy day, wilt thou from heaven thy dwelling place look upon us in that state in which we are, for thou knowest each one of us and how that we are by nature in a state that is apart and separated from thee. And thou commandest us to return, but we have no desire, and we have no ability to return. Lord, that thou with the might and the power of thine arm could yet stretch it forth in this afternoon hour to us and to our children, to give unto us what thou dost command. When we are commanded to turn, and when our heart that is so inclined to walk in the way of sin and of disobedience, that our hearts are carnal and of this world, that we have nothing in us that hungers and thirsts after the true and the living God, then, O Lord, how shall we return? How shall we affect our own heart with the things of God? How shall we give ourselves that love and that desire that does not lie in us by nature?
How shall we give ourselves that true concern and that true interest that will draw our hearts? Oh, we are so incapable from our own side. There is our great guilt that we are no longer able to have such a desire. Oh, then it is that we lie in our sin and in our uncleanness. But Lord, Thou art able, Thou art almighty, and it is for this cause that Thou hast sent Thy Son into the world to do a work that is so impossible from the side of Thy fallen creature. When he was no longer able to obey Thy law, when he has fallen out of Thy righteousness and Thy holiness, and Thou hast done it in his stead, Thou hast kept it to perfection, to the satisfaction of Thy Father. O Thou who hast then taken upon Thyself that great work, in order that Thou wouldst do for Thy church as they were unable to do, Lord, that they had that they had no desire to do, that Thou may so deal with us even in this day, that Thou may send also Thy Holy Spirit, that he may do even that which we cannot do and what we have no desire to do, that also Thy power may be seen and felt in this day as it was in the days that are gone by, that we and our children also may become recipients of that work of Thy dear Son, that Thou may instruct us in our foolishness, that Thou may show to us our great danger as we are traveling to a great eternity, because we have no saving impression thereof. And Thou sayest in Thy word how foolish that we are, that we go on calling our lands after our own names and thinking to dwell here forever. Lord, there is not one of us that is accepted, except that Thou would make it different. And when Thou wilt come, then how different it shall be, O Lord. Oh, then it shall become true in our life. Then it shall begin to hunger and thirst after the living and the true God. Oh, shall this not redound to Thy honor and to Thy glory? Lord, what would it be when in the midst of us as a congregation, many may be turned from darkness unto light? Oh, that we may be given to warn one another earnestly to depart from the ways of sin. Oh, that we may go along with one another and seek after our Maker and our Creator again. Oh, that it may be to gather our desire, that we may no longer walk in the paths of iniquity and transgression against Thy holy law, but that together we may earnestly seek the welfare of our poor soul. Lord, it is a miracle. It is that which must turn us so completely around. It is that which must renew us, that we may be made into a new man. Oh, then it is not that which we can affect ourselves with or one another, but it is the work of Thy Holy Spirit, a powerful, a supernatural, an irresistible work, and that we beseech of Thee in this day. Lord, come then unto us and unto our dear children, and let us not go our own way to walk carelessly over this world, until that day that we that it shall become a reality, what we have heard our whole life, that we have to stand before a holy and a righteous God. Lord, wilt Thou make it reality in this day before the day of our death, that we may begin to run and that we may begin to escape for the sake of our life, the Sodom of this world. Wilt Thou look upon Thy entire church? over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, that they also may increase in number in the midst of us as a congregation and denomination. Lord, that thou may restore that church to its former glory, that thou may bring in once again many in that number, that they may join together in the true fear of thy name, and that those that have indeed been born again may be brought once again from the paths of wandering into the sheepfold of thy dear Son, that he may become once again precious and necessary in their life. May it be for some for the first time who have never seen anything before of thy preciousness. Lord, then it is an instruction also that is so necessary in the life of thy children. Oh, that thou may give more and more to understand, that thou may give light upon who and what we are, that thou wilt give a man to be so disappointed in himself that he may see the impossibility from his own side, and that thou may reveal thyself in thine only begotten Son unto those who are destitute, unto those who desire to return but do not know the way, that thou may reveal thyself in thy blessed beauty, that their heart may rejoice in the opening of a way of eternal life, and that thou may lead also further, that thy children may come into the knowledge of thy dear Son more and more, that they might lose all expectation from their own side, and that even their own life, that it must be lost in order that they might find life in thee. Remember us in mercy all, each and every one that has special needs also in this life. Care thyself when man cannot care, and when man is not able to give life and strength and health, and also comfort in ways of mourning, and where there are discouragements in life. Look upon children that are wayward, Lord. Bring them back again and give them to remember that which they have been taught in their youth. Wilt thou send more servants into thy vineyard? Could it please thee to work with might and with power, and that thou may increase their number in order that thy church may be harvested in the last days of this world, and that thou may look upon thy servant also. And we know not his condition in these moments, but Lord, could it please thee yet to spare him? And wilt thou remember all of us together? Be with all those that have serve in the military. Wilt thou supply for them in all of the dangers wherein they are from time to time? And wilt thou give our governors and rulers also that tender fear of thy holy name to rule us according to thy holy word? Well, do remember each and every one of those who may labor in other ways also in thy kingdom. Wilt thou give a desire in their heart that thou may supply for the ladies also when they will begin to meet together to do works of mercy? Bless also their labors. And may thou give us hearts that may go out unto those who are poor and afflicted in this world. Look on our children, the school, and all those who labor therein for their welfare. And wilt thou instruct our children in the days of their youth? Give them also attention in this afternoon hour, when the matters may be difficult for them in this day. Lord, thou art able to open also their young hearts, and that the substance may be precious to them, and that they also may receive a little crumb from above. Be with us in the preaching of thy word. Stand on our right and on our left, that we may know how to do all things decently and in order, and that thy word may be quick and powerful, that thou would preserve thy truth amongst us, and that also our young people, in the days of their youth, might learn to love and to remember their Creator. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins and iniquities, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 58, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ye gates, lift your heads, the glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way, and the King of all glory high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. We announce that the Ladies' Aid hopes to meet on Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 58, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We heard something last week, congregation, how that the Lord's Supper, and that is giving that comfort and that assurance to that flock of God that has many fears, and they are fears that they are on the outside of this kingdom. Thus, there are only two kingdoms. It is the kingdom of God, and it is the kingdom of Satan. Have you any thought? Have you any concern? Which kingdom that you are in? Of which kingdom that you are a subject? Because it is only the one, or it is the other. And we can read of a thief, how that the Lord Jesus has said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And then we know that he has entered into the kingdom of God. But he has only then entered into the final state and the glory of that kingdom. Because we do not enter into that kingdom, we do not become a subject of that kingdom in the moment of our death. But we become a subject of that kingdom while we are still alive in this world. Thus, the question for each one of us, and that we may know for ourselves, that we are outside of that kingdom of God. And if that is so, then how is it with our desire? Is there a cry for a cry? Is there a sigh for a sigh? That we also may come into that kingdom of God. There are so many aspects of that blessed doctrine of salvation that are of a great comfort for the true church of God concerning the assurance of that kingdom. There is not only the humanity of Christ, but there is also his divinity. Thus, there is not only the state of his humiliation, but there is also the state of his exaltation. Then he is given offices, that of prophet, priest, king, mediator, surety. All of these for that one purpose, that he may minister to a people who are in the kingdom of Satan, that he may bring them into that kingdom of God. That is the very purpose that he has been given all of these offices, that he has been endued with the Spirit from on high. Thus, the very sending of that mediator into the world is unto man a message. It is to him that the Lord is saying with the sending of his Son that you are lost. That he says with the sending of his Son that you are in a condition and a state that you are not able to deliver yourself. That the misery of man is preached by the coming of Christ into this world. his inability, his unwillingness, his wretchedness, his filth, his pollution, his guilt, that is all preached unto men simply by the attributes and by the offices that are given unto that Son of God who is sent by the world into the world for this very purpose. These doctrines concerning the Son of God and his offices, they are therefore a great comfort to his church. That means, at the same time, that anything which is destroying, that is coming against, that is contradicting the doctrines of God's word, that is for the discouraging, for the taking away, for the robbing of the church of her comforts. Man in his poverty cannot add anything. He can only take it away. Every error that Satan seeks to propagate in this world that is fit to take away the comfort of an afflicted people of God. That is also with those errors that we have to consider in this afternoon. Out of Lord's Days 29 and also the first question of Lord's Day 30, thus questions 78, 79, and 80. Lord's Day 29, question 78. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Answer, not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof appointed of God, so the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed itself, is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. Question 79. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul, the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Answer, Christ speaks thus not without great reason. Namely, not only thereby to teach us that as bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink, whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost as we receive by the mouths of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own person suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. Question 80. What difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Popish Mass? Answer, the Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have a full pardon of all sin by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself has once accomplished on the cross, and that we by the Holy Ghost are engrafted into Christ, who according to his human nature is now not on earth, but in heaven, at the right hand of God his Father, and will there be worshipped by us. But the Mass teaches that the living and dead have not the pardon of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is also daily offered for them by the priests. And further, that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and therefore is to be worshipped in them. So that the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ and an accursed idolatry. So far, our Lord's Day. Refutation of the errors concerning the Lord's Supper. First, the error of transubstantiation. Second, the error of the Popish Mass. Refutation of the errors concerning the Lord's Supper, the error of transubstantiation, the error of the Popish Mass. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Why do our fathers ask this question? That is naturally because of the Roman Catholic Church, our catechism that was written in a time of a struggle. A very real struggle between the Roman Catholic Church and Protestantism. And it was necessary that our fathers were very clear concerning what the difference in that doctrine was. Say, perhaps today that is not so necessary anymore. But that is not so. It is still necessary that we are knowledgeable and very clear of these differences. Why? The Roman Catholic Church that consists of more than 1 billion people, that is more than 18% of the population in this world. That means that millions and millions of people are every day being deceived by this doctrine. And where does this doctrine come from? Did not come from God's Word. Thus, where does it come from? It comes from man. It is something that lives in the heart of man. It is something that lives in your heart. That is something that it lives in my heart. Superstition lives in our heart. Carnality lives in our heart. A cleaving to everything that is earthly, everything that is fleshly, everything that is just temporal, that is the nature of man who is by nature not spiritual at all, and after received grace has so little exercise of that spiritual life. And if these are things that are living in our own hearts, then it is most necessary that we know what this error is. What did the Roman Catholic Church teach concerning the Lord's Supper? That in the celebration of that supper, the elements, you know what they are, children, that is, bread and wine, that those elements changed. That they make a change in that they turn into something else during this sacrament and by the words of this priesthood. That they are changing and that they are actually turning into the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. They say it still continues to taste like bread. It still continues to look like bread, like wine, but it is not so. And if you refuse to believe this, then you are cursed. Thus, how then is Christ to be eaten? Christ is to be eaten in a literal way. And that literalness that is very necessary for the Roman Catholic Church to uphold for their superstitious doctrine. But if that indeed were true, what place would faith have in the receiving of the benefits of the Lord. Our children, they know by now that faith, that is the hand, that is the means by which the church of God is receiving to themselves those things which are spiritual. Because those things we cannot see with our eyes, we cannot taste them with our mouth, etc. No, faith is the hand that the Lord is giving that we may receive spiritual things. Thus, if indeed that is truly the body of Christ, if indeed this is truly the bread of Christ, the blood of Christ, then where is the place for faith in the Lord's Supper to receive the things which are spiritual? No, then we are receiving spiritual things with our mouth. The sacrament has a sign. Every sacrament has a sign. That is, by very definition of sacrament, when you leave the sign out of a sacrament, then you have no sacrament. Thus, what is a sign? A sign is something that is resembling, that is put in the place of something else that is not there, that it may lead us to the thought of this thing which it is representing. It is a sign. Thus, when that is truly his body, when that is truly his blood, where is the sign? There is no sign. And if there is no sign, there is no what? There is no sacrament. Thus, indeed, the Popish Mass is no sacrament. The priest says to make the body of Christ out of bread. When that is true, then Christ has not our same flesh. What is your body made out of, children? That is not made out of bread, that is made out of dust. Will not turn into bread, it will turn into dust. Thus we have not the right substance here for the priesthood to make the body of Christ. And when that indeed is the body of Christ, that means the body of Christ in its human nature is omnipresent. Because there is a priest here in Fort McLeod and a priest in Lethbridge and a priest all over the world. And together then they are making that body of Christ. So that body of Christ that is everywhere. Has he then our body? Has he then a human nature like you have, like I have? Our human natures are not omnipresent. And that is now a serious matter. Why? Because if he has not my flesh and he has not my human nature, that means what? That means that he can suffer before his Father, but it means that he cannot pay my price. Animals could not pay our price. The angels could not pay our price. They have not our flesh. And when Christ has not our human nature, he also is not able to pay our price. And thus, that human nature of Christ being different from ours takes away all Christ's power to redeem his church. What a power Rome claims. A power not only to make a transformation, but a power actually of creation. Thus, the Pope is revealing himself as the Antichrist. As God, we read, sitting in the temple of God and showing himself that he is God. This to see bread and wine, to handle, to taste bread and wine, to feel it to be, to taste it to be bread and wine, and to have to believe that it is no bread and wine, that is completely contrary to reality. Never, in God's word, does the Lord demand his children to believe something that is contrary to their reason. Indeed, there are things that they are required to believe which are so high for them that they are not able to understand them. Indeed, they are not able to enter into the mystery of the Trinity of God. However, that Trinity that is not against the reason of man, it is not contrary to the reason of man. And thus that faith that the Lord is requiring and working in his children is also that which is according to their reason. It is not against their reason, although it is often above their reason. But this, the teaching and the instruction of the Roman Catholic Church, is completely against the reasoning of man simply because it is not true. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Thus indeed Christ calls this bread his body, and he calls this wine his blood. This is my body which is broken for you. This is the New Testament in my blood. And that is now the basis that Rome has to say that that is literally true. But also this has no basis in the scripture. Always, children, young people, then we must always look and go from scripture to scripture to see what the Lord is saying in his word. And then there are so many things, because we have been speaking also about those symbols and those pictures that the Lord is using in his word in order that we as ignorant creatures may understand. And so we have that so often in God's word that you wonder that Rome does not feel so foolish in insisting upon this. When the Lord says, I am the door, or when the Lord says, I am the bread of life, or when he says, I am the good shepherd, that they do not also take all these things in a literal manner. But why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood? Christ speaks thus not without great reason. Thus there is a great reason. Namely, not only thereby to teach us that as the bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost as we receive by the mouths of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him. And that all his sufferings and our obedience and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own person suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. Thus, great reason.
Great reason that he says, this is my body, this is my blood. Not reason that it may be abused, but reason that it may be for the comfort of God's church. And then our instructors speak here about two reasons. First, they say for instruction. Second, they say for insurance, for assurance. Children, we spoke about baptism. And we spoke about the sign for baptism. And we said that the Lord had chosen that sign. What was the sign? Water. The Lord chose that sign for a reason. Why did he choose water? Well, you remember what it represents. It represents washing, cleansing. And we know that very well, what water does. Because when we are filthy, then we use water to wash. Therefore, now we can understand. Because we are so ignorant, that is what the Lord is doing for us. Is not the Lord good? And the Lord now does this also with the Holy Supper. The same reason. He chooses certain elements. He chooses them for the properties which they contain. And then it is not showing exactly the same thing as that baptism is showing, but it is showing nourishment. So the bread and the wine, they nourish and they cheer. They strengthen. Solomon says, give wine to him that is of a heavy heart. To those who are weak, they need bread that they may eat, that they may be satisfied. Thus, those things that bread and wine do for us naturally, these, the Lord says, his body and his blood, his broken body, his poured out blood, they are doing for his church in a spiritual way. They are strengthening those who are weak. They are cheering those who are despondent. Thus, he is making an analogy. And then it is proper that the Lord for a sacrament is speaking also in a sacramental manner. That is, when he is speaking about a sign, that he may call the sign by the thing that it signifies. Because calling that sign by the thing that it signifies, that is a strengthening by the Lord himself of the connection of the analogy between that sign and its significance. Thus, there is a church that, if it is well, is not able to do without the spiritual meat and drink that the Lord will give to them. Religion for the soul of God's children is not just something that they can do with or that they can do without. No, it is something that is as necessary as the food and drink that is for our body. Otherwise, that our body does not flourish, it languishes. And when that people do not eat in a spiritual manner, also that spiritual life will languish. Thus, that church that eats by faith, and that faith that is the means then of receiving all those things that are signified by this bread and wine. What must that church feed upon? They must feed upon Christ. They must feed upon the sacrifice of Christ. His crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby their souls are fed to eternal life. And if they eat not and drink not in this manner, it is all folly. It all means nothing. But to spiritually eat and drink, that is health, to their soul.
What did the Lord Jesus say? I am that living bread which came down from heaven. Thus we have asked you last week, is there hunger? Is there hunger for this bread? We do not ask if there is hunger for the Lord's Supper, because there are many that have hunger for that Lord's Supper. But is there now hunger for this spiritual meat and drink? In the second place, our fathers say it is for assurance. Assurance that is something that is longed for by the true church of God. And if this is for assurance, then it is not without great reason that Christ is calling this bread his body and the wine his blood. Because we know in that Holy Supper that the Lord is giving to his church a pledge. And what is a pledge? You know that, children? What is a pledge? Pledge is something that you receive and that you hold. Sometimes today we call such a thing a deposit. When you're going to buy something, you give a deposit. You give that person first some money, and he may hold that money. And by holding that money, he believes that you are serious about coming back, that you really want it. And so a pledge. And when a person has a pledge, then they are looking at that pledge. And they are thinking to themselves, yes. Yes, indeed, they are going to come back again. Yes, indeed, I am going to see him again. And I will hold on to that pledge as a token of his sincerity. Thus the Lord is giving a pledge unto his church. He is giving them a pledge by which they may look and see that the Lord indeed is going to fulfill that promise that he has given to them. He did not need to give them a pledge. He could give them only a promise. And say that he will come again. That he will grant them what he has promised them. But he has given them more. He has given them also a pledge. And that pledge that he has given is in the Lord's Supper, and that is for their assurance, just as a pledge in this world. By these visible signs and pledges, he assures that they are really partakers of his true body and blood. As we receive by the mouths of our body these holy signs in remembrance of him. Thus he says, this is my body, this is my blood. And he gives them that sure pledge, an undoubted testimony. In a sacramental union, spoke of a union this morning. In a sacramental union. Between the signs and the things which are signified. No, not a literal becoming, but a sacramental union. Assuring them that just the same as they are literally partakers of the signs, so are they spiritually partakers of the substance, that they may receive what is necessary to embrace him. This is my body. No, not literally, spiritually. Is there then no presence? Is there then no presence of the Lord Jesus at all in that celebration of the Lord's Supper? No, we do not say that either. We know that Zwingli, he taught this, that he says that the Lord Jesus is not present there at all. These are merely signs. And that is all that they are. Luther came very close to consubstantiation for the Roman Catholic Church. And we have to remember the time that he was in. But he said that there is a mixture, consubstantiation, that the real true body of Christ is mixed in with and under these elements. But both of these miss the real meaning. The real meaning that is speaking of the spiritual blessings. Indeed, Christ is present at his supper, but he is not present with his human nature, but he is present with his divine nature. He is present in a spiritual manner. And that presence that can only be realized by the living church, because it is a spiritual presence, and it can only be realized by through faith, because that is the means whereby these benefits are received. Let us sing Psalter 353, all stanzas. Now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord had not our right maintained, if that the Lord had not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strive, we surely had been swallowed up alive. 353, 1, 2, and 3. Question 80, what difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Popish Mass? The Lord's Supper congregation in the Roman Catholic Church that serves two functions. What are they? One is a sacrifice, and the other is a meal. Thus, as a sacrifice, it is called a Mass, and as a meal, it is called communion. And that is why that table, the communion table in the Roman Catholic Church, that is also sometimes called an altar. Because our children know that it is upon an altar that a sacrifice is made. Thus, the Lord's Supper that is instituted by men, but Mass that has been the Lord's Supper has been instituted by God. The Mass that is instituted by men. What does our instruction of our Father say concerning the difference between the Lord's Supper and this papal Mass? First, they say that the Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have a full pardon of all sin by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself has once accomplished on the cross. What does Paul say? By one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And we know that the Lord Jesus, when he was upon the cross, came to say, "It is finished." This is a great comfort for his church. The fact that it is finished, the fact that there is nothing more that needs to be accomplished, that everything that was prophesied concerning him, that full satisfaction has now been paid, that debt is paid, that punishment that is endured, that separation from his Father that is and now taken away for his church. The Father himself has declared himself satisfied with this satisfaction. That is a blessed comfort for his church. But what does the Mass declare? The Mass declares that it is not yet finished. The Mass teaches us that the living and dead have not the pardon of sins through the suffering of Christ, unless Christ is also daily offered for them by the priest. Thus, the Mass, an offering, a sacrifice. Christ sacrificed anew, offered anew every day. What is it? It is a denial of the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. And this error of the Mass that is very closely associated with the error of transubstantiation. Because that Mass is a declaration of something that is of the continual presence of the human nature of Christ. That he may continually be sacrificed, because he is not sacrificed in his divine nature. No, he can suffer only in his human nature. But in the Lord's Supper, then there is a testimony of where Christ is and how that he will be worshipped by his church, who according to his human nature is now not on earth, but in heaven at the right hand of God his Father. What does Paul say? He says, "We have such an high priest who is set down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Thus, those very symbols, the symbols of the bread, of the wine in the sacrament, they are for the contemplation of Christ, who is no longer present with his church. That is why he has commanded them to celebrate this until he does come again. Christ is with his human nature with his Father, and that for the sake of his church, on behalf of his church, then he is with his Father, and we read in our catechism, and will there be worshipped by us, not in a carnal way, not as Rome teaches us in an earthly, in a sensual way. No, that is what is living in our hearts. But what does Paul say? He says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Congregation, let us have nothing to do with Rome. No, and not in a natural way, but also in a spiritual way, also not in our hearts. That we may be given by the Lord to drive out everything that is carnal, everything that is superstitious in our worship of Him. God is a spirit and He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And for this reason, then we need that Spirit of God to be poured out upon us. Our catechism speaks here about feeding souls. Feeding souls. Thus, the soul must be fed, but a soul cannot be fed until it is alive. We cannot be fed unless we are alive. And what is now that food, congregation? Oh, may you ever receive any strength from this food. Hope. In hope, there is strength, is there not? When a man despairs, he is weak. That was Saul at the end of his life. Then he was lying upon the ground. He was told what his future was going to be, and he was in utter despair. Then there is weakness. But in hope, there is strength. And when a man is given such a small view of who that Christ is for a sinner in this world, then whether you have the freedom to come to the Lord's Supper or no, then there is something that you have experienced of strength. Strength even of an opening of a way in Him. Strength to draw your soul to continue to seek Him. Then we may eat just a little bit. Then we may partake, no, not to receive with our body, but to receive, we would not even dare to say that we have faith, maybe. But then we cannot deny that what the Lord has revealed to us, what the Lord has shown to us, that was to us strength. That has given us expectation. In all our discouragement, in all our impossibility, then we are not a stranger actually of what it means to eat and to drink. May the Lord give us instruction concerning ourselves, what our state and condition is, the necessity of this spiritual meat and drink. What is our world doing? What are we doing, children, young people? When there was some bread, when there was some food,
that they would say, you may eat this and that will increase your lifespan 100 years.
Will not long be on the shelf in the store. No, you will seek it out. For what? 100 years on the earth? What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Forever. Have we no desire now for that bread? By nature, not because we have no desire for spiritual life. But when the Lord may only give us such life, then you will understand that there is a people that cannot leave this food just lie. No, they have not the power to reveal him unto themselves, but they are not strangers of what it means to eat and to drink. And then you understand a little why. Through all the warfare, all the doubting, the fears of the people, because it is not the same every day, through all the fears of the people, that they will remain one day outside of the kingdom of God. What a blessing and benefit that the Lord has left behind him this pledge. This pledge. Wherein he says, examine yourself. And when you are no stranger of what that means to eat and to drink by a true faith, then I give you also this pledge that what now I have begun, I will also finish. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us and give us to need that bread, to desire that bread. Lord, we cannot give it to ourselves. It is spiritual. And we are carnal, sold under sin. O come then in thy mercy with thy spirit. Bless thy word. The instruction of our fathers, keep us on the right path, and from self-deception, bring us safely to our homes, and give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy, strengthen thy servants in other places in this day, and wilt thou be with us also on the day of tomorrow. Give us a desire to be together. Help us also in the preaching of thy word once again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 166, 1, 2, and 3. Praise awaits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry to thee, by all shall prayer be made. 1, 2, and 3 of 166. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.